thing you have to keep in mind before you give up is that if you give up, the guarantee is it will never happen.
Keep pushing through it, and you'll make it through the day.
No matter how bad things get, life is beautiful, and things will always be better. Everything is worth it.
Scared? Alone? Unsure of what's to come? This podcast is for our brothers and sisters who struggle with homelessness. Join us on this journey to improve our mental health, to challenge what's possible, to become who we are. Let's ignite hope one spark at a time and set our dreams on fire.
Welcome back to my Street Strong family. So grateful for every single one of you for tuning in. Today's an exciting episode. We are going to talk about thoughts and five good reasons that you should not always trust your thoughts. Well, you might say, darn, Tommy, that's a little bit scary. What do you mean I can't trust my thoughts? No. This is what I'm talking about. Sometimes we get scared. Sometimes we get angry. Sometimes we beat ourselves up and we believe we are not worth it. We have thoughts that do not always move us forward. We have thoughts that make life a little more difficult at times. And the good news is I have five reasons why you should not always trust your thoughts. Why, before you sign that dotted line, you should think really carefully about whether or not those thoughts actually represent the reality in front of you. And I hope that this episode really helps empower our friends on the street, because, you know, the folks I meet from Skid Row, they do beat themselves up a lot. They come from rough pasts where somebody in their lives told them they weren't going to amount to anything, or that they're not lovable, they're not worth it. A lot of my friends on Skid Row, they've been to jail. They've been without a house for a very long time, and they feel like they failed. They feel like things are never going to get better. Well, I will tell you, these five reasons to not always trust your thoughts are very good reasons to have hope. I hope this liberates a lot of people out there. I know these five reasons help liberate me when I'm feeling down. They help make me feel a little bit better, because sometimes we all need that reminder and that momentum to keep going. So without further ado, let's get into it. So the very first reason that we should not always believe in our thoughts are that a lot of times our thoughts are from the past. That's right. They're from the past. And what that means is our brain is a prediction machine. Our brain lives every day to try and predict what is going to happen next. And our brain does that based on our past experiences, our memories from the past, our thoughts, beliefs, the people in our lives from the past, what they've told us, what they've said about us, right? So we take all of that information, all of that data, and our brain generates a prediction about how you should feel right now. Now, for folks who have come from a rough past, maybe they were victims of abuse, they were beaten, they were verbally, you know, abused and told that they're no good, that, you know, that they're not smart, they're not lovable. Well, if you wake up today, your brain is going to continue to predict that that's the world you live in, that those are the things you should believe in, because those are the things that you believed in the past. And you believed them because you were a little kid, and little kids don't know any better all the time. They look at mom and dad and say, well, if mom and dad said that, it must be true. So thoughts from the past, you have these ideas, you have these events that may have happened to you, these painful memories, these comments that were made. And so the past is going to be very loud in the present. That's for all of us, whether you have a mental illness or you don't. The past is always inserting itself onto the present. And the part where this gets really comforting and liberating is to know that, you know, you're not a loser. You know, there is hope. There is a future for you. You are smart. You are capable. You can do so many wonderful things. And that voice that you keep hearing that's trying to hold you back, it's just a tape recording of the past. That's all it is. And the nice thing is it's a recording. It's not the present. it's not a recording. It's not an example of what's, or a representation of what's happening to you right now, of the actual flesh and blood reality of what you are living now. And so for that reason, my friends, the next time you feel down, really ask yourself, is this something I believe now? Is this a thought that I have right now? Or is this a thought that is likely coming from my past? Is this a thought that relates to a relationship I had in the past where somebody convinced me that this is what who I truly am? Somebody convinced me that the world is dangerous and I have to be prepared because there's an emergency and a crisis around every corner. Really vet your thoughts and ask yourself, is this a thought of today or is this a thought of yesterday and the past? The second reason that we don't need to always buy into our thoughts is that our brain is not wired for truth. It's wired for survival. I want to repeat that because it's so darn important. Our brains are not wired for truth. They are wired for survival. And that's a fact, right? That's a fact. So, back in the day when, we were roaming around in the savannah, it made more sense for us to believe that stick around the corner was a snake. Because if we believe it's a snake, that we can run away and our lives are saved. If we believe it's a stick and it actually is a stick, well, that doesn't really help us much because it's a stick, right? So our brain is always trying to get us to survive. So by making you believe in the worst case scenario, it helps prepare you so that you can survive. And that's why a lot of sticks look like snakes. Maybe on the streets, when somebody pulls out a wallet, it looks like a gun. Right? Because maybe you did have some kind of violent memory that came to mind that had to do with a gun in the past. And that would make it more likely that when somebody's whipping out a wallet, your brain thinks gun. And it does that because it's not concerned about whether that's true or false. Your brain wants you to survive. Your brain wants you to survive. And so it's a good thing in a way, because we're all here living, breathing, and surviving because of that. At the same time, it's proof in the pudding that we're going to feel a lot more anxious than we have to feel. We're going to feel even more hopeless at times than we have to feel, because the brain is always scanning for danger. It's always trying to help you get away from danger. And in order to do that, it has to convince you that the world is dangerous and that, there are things to avoid. There are things to run away from. Now, of course, the world can be very dangerous, but at the end of the day, it's how we choose to relate to the world. And we do have to put some of these thoughts in check, because if we live every day like we're running from a bear, it's going to really damage our immune system, our digestive system, right? When we're running from a bear, all of those systems shut off because they're not immediately important. So again, the second reason why you should not always pay attention to your thoughts is because they are not wired to be true. They are wired to help you survive. So take a deep breath of a sigh of relief and remind yourself that the next time your mind or your brain tries to tell you, that inner voice tries to tell you, you're no good, you have no future, all these terrible things, remember that your brain is, number one, talking from the past, and number two, it is in some way trying to help you survive, and it's not even there in the first place to tell you the truth, right? A lot of times it's our parents or grandparents or uncle or aunt that raised us or someone else, and they might not have even been very positive in our lives, and they're giving us a message, and it's just replaying a tape in our minds. And so when we can separate ourselves from that tape, when we can let that tape just play and not identify with it, not sign the dotted line when we hear it, when we can just let it play and let it go on in the background, however frustrating, that's when we really free ourselves, right? That's when we really free ourselves. The third reason to not really put a lot of stake into our thoughts is that they change so quickly. Just think about the last 24 hours. Think about the last 24 hours. I know for me, in the last 24 hours, I've been really excited. There were times I was really irritable. There were times that I felt kind of down and kind of sad. My emotions in 24 hours have changed so radically, so quickly. Even though my circumstances in my life haven't really changed that much. And so I would just encourage each of you to think about all of the range of emotions you may have experienced in the last day or two. And think about just how quickly your feelings and thoughts can even change. They change like the sky, like the clouds in the sky. They change like the ocean, right? Every day, the way the waves break on the shoreline is a little bit different. No two wave breaks are ever the same. And it just kind of is the same principle, right? Our thoughts are just, they change. And so why even invest so much in what our thoughts are telling us or how they present when they can change so quickly? Now, for a lot of folks out there who are depressed or anxious, their thoughts don't always change and they are kind of stuck. But the point is, even when you're depressed or anxious, your thoughts will change all of the time, right? When you're anxious, you'll be anxious about one thing and then you'll suddenly feel relieved and then you're anxious about another thing and then you're irritable about something and then maybe you're down because you've been anxious all day. The point is, the thoughts just constantly morph and change, and whether they get worse and worse and worse, or better and worse, or worse and better, it doesn't really matter. The point is, because they change so much, we really shouldn't believe in them that much. Again, it's the tape recorder, it's the past. And that's the reason they change so much. Again, they're not trying to be true or false. They're trying to keep you alive. They're just replaying a tape. They're replaying a tape from the past. And so sometimes you're going to feel a certain way, other times you're going to feel a certain way. But at the end of the day, they change so much that, you know, we're a little bit foolish when we invest way too much in a thought, because before you know it, that thought is gone. Now, the fourth reason you should not invest so much in your thoughts is because thoughts are fast and they're automatic, and the brain does that to save energy. Now, your brain is only about 3 pounds, but it takes up about 25% of your entire metabolism of your body. It gobbles up about 25%. Of all of your energy in your entire body. Now, I'm about 185-pound man, okay? 3 pounds, I only have a 3-pound brain, okay? My wife would say it's probably more like a pound and a half. My point is that your brain is extremely demanding, and so it doesn't want to have to think very much. Now, you might say, wait a minute, well, that doesn't sound right because I think all the time. I can't shut my mind off. That's true. But at the same time, the brain keeps you anxious. It makes automatic decisions to save time so that it doesn't have to really flesh out the details and sit there and stew for hours and hours. Again, the stick and the snake, right? The brain is predicting that that thing is a snake to keep you safe. It doesn't sit there like Plato and debate it for 20 minutes, right? It doesn't sit there and gobble up even more energy and just think about, well, is that a snake or a stick? And what kind of snake is it? Is it venomous? Is it not? No, it's a deadly snake. Run. See how much shorter that is? It's short. It's short. So the brain doesn't have to do all this work. And so it gets you moving. But another thing the brain does, and this is a fancy schmancy word that I don't normally use in my day-to-day life, but it's, well, just, I was going to say heuristics, but the brain takes shortcuts to really cut back on how much energy it gobbles, right? It takes shortcuts. And so one major shortcut it takes, it's called the anchoring shortcut. It's an anchoring shortcut. And what that is that sometimes in life, we tend to base our decisions on the very first piece of information we encounter. Okay, I'm going to say that again. We tend to base our decisions on the very first thing we encounter. Well, that can be kind of dangerous, right? Because the very first thing we encounter doesn't always mean it's the most accurate piece of information or the most accurate representation of everything around us. So we got to be careful not to base our decisions too closely on the first piece of information we have. Now, for a lot of us, that first piece of information was our childhood. In our childhood, we were told, maybe by a caregiver, that we're not good enough, that we're not lovable, that we're always going to make mistakes, that we're going to amount to nothing, right? And just because that was the first piece of information we received, by no means does that mean that that's everybody's opinion and that does not tell us who we actually are as people. It's just the first information that you ever got, right? If you walk into a burger restaurant and the very first thing you see on the menu is a catfish with cottage cheese on it, okay? Now, that makes me want to vomit. But if that's the very first thing you see, you might go, oh my God, why did we just walk into this burger joint? This is awful. First of all, I want a burger. I don't want catfish, and I sure as hell don't want cottage cheese on my catfish. You might have a really disgusting first impression of that burger joint. And maybe that one menu item has a story behind it. Maybe it's on there for a specific reason because they want to offer a little bit of fish or something. I don't know, but it doesn't really tell you much about the burger place. That burger place could be the best darn burger place in the entire city. It could be the best place. It could have a triple pound, triple patty, mouth-watering cheeseburger that you would devour in under 15 seconds, right? But because you saw this picture of a catfish and cottage cheese, you're grossed out. You don't think it's even a burger place anymore, and certainly not a good burger place, right? Because you relied on the first piece of information. We do this all the time when we meet people for the first time, right? If somebody were to meet you and they sneezed into their hands and tried to shake your hand, and I apologize, I keep giving you really disgusting analogies, and that's not my goal here, but if somebody did that, you might say, oh my God, this person is really disgusting. Why would they sneeze into their hands and try to shake my hand? Okay. But then you talk to them for 20 minutes. Hopefully you don't shake their hands and ask them to use a handkerchief first. But maybe you talk to them and they end up being just really warm, incredible person. They give back to their community. They are caring. They talk to you and help you out with something. They give you whatever that might be. And you judge them because they sneezed into their hands and really kind of scared you off in the beginning. Now, again, that's kind of a bad example because 9 times out of 10, if they did sneeze into their hand, they're probably not someone you do want to talk to. You get my point though, right? First impressions. We've all met somebody and maybe they didn't blow us away the first time we met them. There was something maybe off about them. And maybe we judge them. And later on, we realize, hey, this is a hell of a person. You know, this person's wonderful. They're generous. They're beautiful. They're kind. And so we got to be careful not to base decisions on the first impression we have of that thing. Okay. And that's called the anchoring shortcut. And the brain has all kinds of shortcuts like this that it uses all the time just to save energy. And the whole point of this, right? The whole point of this exercise is that, you know, you don't always have to trust those scary thoughts or those thoughts that are putting you down because our brain is just, again, it's not really interested in telling you the truth. So don't take it so literally, right? Now, the fifth reason, and I love this reason because it really hits close to home, is that the fifth reason not to put a lot of stake in your thoughts is that they can be about your body and not your mind, okay? Now, I won't get into the nitty-gritty too much, but 90% or so of the nerve signals between your brain and body are actually going from your body up to your brain. Meaning, what that means is that even though the brain and body are connected really closely, most of the information's coming from your body and being fed to your brain. And what that means is if you're hungry or you're thirsty or there's some other problem, your brain is reacting to that. Maybe it becomes anxious. Maybe it becomes irritable. The best example I can give you right off the top of my head that we can all relate to is when we're hungry. When we're hungry, we can be pretty irritable. We can be pretty angry, right? And we lash out at people. I've had folks on Skid Row, they lash out in the soup line at somebody and then they later regret it. Well, a lot of that is it's not because they're bad people. It's because maybe they're really hungry. They've been walking all day, they're exhausted, and they want a meal, and they have a short temper. And so my patients or my friends on Skid Row, they will often just beat themselves up and say, I'm no good, I'm an angry person, I'm so bad, I can't get along with people. But no, really, it was that they were extremely hungry. And when you're hungry, you become irritable because being irritable back in the day in the savannah was very useful. When you were irritable, you could claim territory. Maybe you could claim territory and get food because you're more aggressive. You're more irritable. It's a signal to your brain to acquire food. We already talked in a previous episode about water, how water is everything. If you drink enough water, you feel confident, energized. You can focus. You're less anxious, right? So a lot of my friends on the street, when they're not drinking enough water because they don't have access, they are going to feel really foggy and confused. And now when you're confused, your brain's going to want to save up even more energy, and it's going to take even more shortcuts that are not accurate. So this is such an important point, this fifth point, because so many folks on Skid Row and who are suffering from homelessness aren't getting enough nutrients. They're not getting enough water. And so they're absolutely at the mercy of this, where their brains are going to convince them into something that isn't necessarily true, because the brain is reacting to a body that is not getting the nourishment and sustenance that it needs. So a lot of you are just beating the crap out of yourselves when you're not even given a chance to begin with to really nourish what you need to nourish, to think clearly and positively and happily. And that, my friends, those are the five reasons that we should not place too much credence into our thoughts. For me, all five of those really liberate me. They make me live in the moment a little better. They let me let things go more, because why would I hang on to a thought if I felt it wasn't even accurate? I'm not going to waste my time on a thought that's just there because it wants me to survive or take a shortcut. I'm going to just let it pass. I'm not going to play with it. I'm not going to pick the scab. I'm just going to let that thought be. I'm going to take a few breaths. And that's the tip I want to leave you with. Deep breathing. We talked about 4-7-8 breathing, right? So you take a deep breath in for 4 seconds through your nose, hold for 7, and then exhale for 8. 4-7-8 breathing. Again, through your nose for 4, inhale 4, hold 7, exhale 8. And what that does is it allows you to clear your mind a little bit. It also delays the opportunity for you to just sign on to that thought, because if you delay a little bit, you can reapproach that thought later and say, wait a minute, is this really what I think? Or is this just a reaction because I'm hungry, I'm tired, I'm thirsty? Is this my brain trying to keep me alive and or remind me of the past? You know, and so, excuse me, I need to drink more water today. So again, it's a beautiful constellation here of factors that go into our thinking. And once we realize how we think, we have a little more power, we have a little more agency, we have a little more control to steer the ship the right way that we want to steer the ship. I want to leave you with a question and a little story. And my question that I think we should all be asking ourselves, it's such a golden question in mental health. It can change your life by just asking this question every morning you wake up. And that question is, what do I no longer believe in today that I believed in yesterday? Again, what do I no longer believe today that I believed in yesterday? And I love that. I love that quote, because you might have come from a violent past where, you know, your uncle beat you up on a daily basis, or some other horrible things that were said to you or done to you. And bless your heart if that happened. It's very tough to struggle with those memories. At the end of the day, if the last 30, 60, 90 days have been kinder to you, if you've met kind people who are trying to reach out to you, who are giving you hope, who are linking you up to services to get out an apartment or a studio and find you a job, if you've been sober lately and you're proud of yourself, please, please just collect those moments, summon that gratitude, that progress, and just for a moment, ask yourself, what do I no longer believe in today that I did yesterday? Maybe yesterday I believed that the world was dangerous and hopeless, and nobody really had my back, and nobody cared about me, and I'm not worthy. But maybe in the last 30 days, you know what? Things have changed. And maybe I do believe that people are actually very good. People are good, and there are some bad apples, but most people are good. Most people care. And you know what? There is a future for me. And so that's an empowering question I ask myself, and I encourage everybody else to ask themselves. I'll leave you with this, my little story, and the story's like under 10 seconds. But today I looked at my watch in the morning and my watch wasn't on. And I felt embarrassed because I just looked at my naked wrist and my watch wasn't there. And if that's not proof that your thoughts can often be ridiculous and misleading and unhelpful, I don't really know a better example than that. Because I looked at my wrist like a bird brain, and there was no watch there. Well, why did I look at my wrist? Well, because my brain predicted that I have a watch on my wrist, because most of the time I do, but I didn't today. But my brain didn't care. The shortcut was, oh, the watch is normally on your wrist, so look at your wrist. And then I looked pretty dumb because the watch wasn't on my wrist. So my brain was wrong. And that's just one small example of how often my brain is wrong, okay? And how often our thoughts and our automatic thoughts are wrong. And look at that. My behavior also made no sense. Why am I looking at my wrist? But this is happening on a grand scale in all of society, where we have a thought that's automatic because it's just what we're used to in the past, right? My watch was on my wrist, so I'm going to look at my wrist. We do it without thinking. We do it because it's automatic, and that's how things have always been, and yet we're wrong. There's no watch on the wrist. And it's so beautiful and elegant and inspiring, because a lot of times we'll do, you know, people will do drugs. They'll do the crack cocaine or the heroin, or they'll do some other, the pot, right? And they do that because for many years they were made to believe that they're no good, nothing's ever going to get better, the world is dangerous. And the automatic reaction to that is to stop those feelings from hurting so bad. But yet those same ideas may not be relevant anymore. Those are just the first pieces of information you got when you were younger. It doesn't mean those ideas are true. They're certainly not useful, and you don't need them anymore in your life. This was a fun one. This was a fun one. I hope you enjoyed it. Please share. We really, really succeed as a podcast, as a community, as a team. If you can please write out a review on Apple Podcasts, it really helps a lot. If you can go to Apple Podcasts and write a review, it would be so much appreciated to get some feedback, to understand what you like, maybe what you don't like, what you recommend for future episodes. We'd love to hear from homeless shelters, from volunteers, from any Joe or Jane out there who gives a darn about anything. We'd love to hear about your thoughts and recommendations. We'd also love to have you on the show. So whatever you got, I'm here at streetstrongpodcast@gmail.com. Such a pleasure to be here. All of you stay safe. You're in all of our thoughts. Have a great rest of your Monday. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Street Strong. Please don't forget to like, subscribe, and share this podcast with every single person you know who is struggling with homelessness. And remember that famous line from Mr. Rogers: when the day turns into night and you're way beyond my sight, I'll think of you.